Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to The Diplomat, brought to you by Newsweek. I'm your host, Jason Greenblatt. With tensions rising across the world, diplomacy is needed perhaps now more than ever. During my time as former White House Middle East envoy and as one of the chief architects of peace between Israel and its Arab neighbors, I've had the chance to witness the power of diplomacy firsthand, and today I would like to share that perspective with you. Shalom, salam, and welcome to The Diplomat. I'm here today with my son Noah in the office of Dr. Saad Al-Shirhani, the Deputy Minister for Economic Affairs and Investment Studies and Deputy Minister for Investment Promotion Acting. We're sitting with Dr. Al-Shirhani to talk about what the Ministry of Investment Promotion is responsible for, and we're talking about why companies should consider coming to invest and do business in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Take a listen. Dr. Saad Al-Shirhani, thank you for welcoming us to the Ministry of Investment. The Ministry of Investment was created by the Kingdom very recently, in 2020, I believe. Tell us about the ministry and what its goals are.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time, and I'm really happy to be with you today. So if we go back 6 years ago, we had the 2030 vision started in 2016, and it came up with a lot of ambitious targets, initiatives, programs, and major structural reforms and economic reforms. One of the biggest targets is to be one of the largest 15 economies by 2030. And that requires a lot of work to accelerate the growth of the GDP and to elevate its size. And if we look at economically to the GDP, mostly or 30 to 35% of it is investment. So we had to do something about investment. And before the establishment of MISA, the Ministry of Investment of Saudi Arabia, we had what we call SAGI at that time, which is a promotion authority that goes and promote for Saudi Arabia internationally. And that was like the scope and the mandate, which is narrowed. But MISA came in 2020, and it came with a lot of mandates, not only to promote, but to look at the whole business environment in Saudi Arabia, take care of the private sector challenges, make sure there is a good incentives to bring international and local investors and use these untapped opportunities that we have in the country. Then the National Investment Strategy came in 2021, launched by His Royal Highness the Crown Prince, and it came up with good amount of pillars, initiatives, to make sure the business environment is at its best, improved, the economy is more open than ever, make incentives available by the priority sectors and priority projects, make sure there is a good protection for investors internationally and locally, and provide depth and analysis of these opportunities at the sectorial level and the regional level. So basically that's what the Ministry of Investment is doing right now. We have a huge org structure that can work within different sectors. We have international affairs, we have international outreach, we have economic affairs and investment studies, which is what I lead now. And also I lead the other deputyship, which is investment promotion and marketing and communication. But we have investment transactions, we have investment services. So all these together, they play a coordinated role to make sure our investment act in its best level.
So what are some of the key opportunities that exist in the kingdom that outsiders should understand that they may not be aware of?
Continue what I said in the previous question regarding the reforms that we have done. As I said, we introduced more than 550 reforms. including the ownership. So any investor, even if he or she not a local investor, can own the business 100% now. We have the new draft investment law that we just distributed to the private sector internationally and locally. And we had a survey to see the reaction of the investors. So we are sharing this with investors to make sure we get their feedback and amend what's fair for both parties, government and investors. And we have looked at some, I would call it promising sectors that we think they will be the driver of the economy for the next decade. Tourism, entertainment, technology, innovation, culture, real estate and housing. Those, they were not tapped as an opportunities effectively in the past. So looking at what I said before, that the vision, the oil prices used to be the driver of our policy. Wherever it goes up, we go up, and vice versa. Now, we don't care about what's happening outside. We have our own business and our efforts and homework to do. And we created everything available to the investors. And we have seen a lot coming to the country. Numbers are speaking by themselves. FDI in 2021 increased by 257% compared to 2020. License numbers went more than 7-8 times than 2020. Even during COVID, if you look at the FDI at that time, the whole world or global declined by 35% of FDI. Only Saudi Arabia that grew positively 19%. So you can tell there is potential and there is a seriousness, and investors are happy to have their money and investment in a safe economy like Saudi Arabia.
And going into a new country for any investor, for any company, of course, is always challenging and complicated. In this case, there's so many new regulations that are positive for investors and companies to come in. What would be your advice for somebody who's interested in the kingdom? Is there a central office that they could call to sort of help guide them, especially since they no longer need a Saudi partner? They could actually own it by themselves, as you say. What's your best advice for somebody who's even who wants to begin this exploration of coming into the kingdom?
Good question. Let me start with the Invest Saudi platform. We have a unified, national unified platform called Invest Saudi, where you can go to that platform and investigate about all opportunities, either at the regional, in the cities, or at sectorial level. You can see full cards of information, benefits, economic analysis, opportunities, locations. Even we started adopting a new GIS system to show the investor where he is, or wherever he is or she is in the world, what is the opportunity on the ground, and shows the demand in the market, shows how much you can benefit and generate from that opportunity. And you can find also list of incentives. So we have introduced incentives in the national investment strategy that can meet with the requirements of any investor. Of course, we have priorities. We have done our analysis in the economic affairs and investment studies, where we go one by one, the priority for this sector and that sector, for this project, that project, and we give more incentives as the level of importance of that project goes up frequently. So that's one. Two, we have the international offices of MISA. The plan in the National Investment Strategy to have about 11 offices. So they are available by the embassies. You can go and visit and find all the information. And these offices, they work as outreach arm. So they go and reach out to investors and provide the information. We have a lot of services that been introduced by the Investor Services Deputyship, where they can provide you list of investors and make sure your journey of investment from door to door is completed, and they continue their journey with you, giving you some updates, reports, invite you to some forums, visit your company. So that's the type of work that we do. But also the social media today is making our life easier. So we use and utilize the social media with all the government entities to make sure we promote the quality and the best opportunities that everyone can benefit today.
So it sounds like you've done a great deal of homework to try to show those who might be interested, hey, here are the opportunities, here's why we think you should focus on this, here's the data that we have for you, and you package it nice and neatly for everyone to understand it.
Right.
Got it.
Yeah.
So the kingdom requires multinational companies who want to do business in the kingdom to have their headquarters here. Some argue that that's a tough ask. What should they understand from the kingdom's point of view on why that's important?
Well, let me give you a small example. I mean, the kingdom as a size and economy and location, like a giant who was sleeping the whole time, then all of a sudden the giant thought, you know, I need to wake up and see what's benefit for my economy and my national interest and my locals. So if you look at some countries, I'll give an example. For example, USA, it's a long line with what you guys call it, the buy American law that benefit the people within the US. So it's similar thing where we need to find a way to make a win-win cases now. So we did not do this decision overnight. There was a study and there was analysis and there was scenarios to see how we can do it. So we introduced some incentives and we said, listen, if you want to be a winner and take a piece of the cake, you need to move to Saudi Arabia. That's basically it. And at the same time, since we announced in last October, I think 2021, there were about 44 companies moved their headquarters to Riyadh. And the latest numbers are in the 50s now. So, and they are giant companies. So I don't think these guys made the stupid decisions. They make the right decision. That's what I believe. And they start benefiting from their work. So basically that's what's happening. Beside the attraction that we provided when it comes to incentives. So in terms of lands, exemptions, loans, so I know they're going to give up something somewhere where they are in the world. However, they're going to get more when they move in.
Right. And your point about Buy American really resonates, right? In other words, it's America does that. When I was working in the White House, we had to fly American Airlines, right. Unless there was some very unusual reason why we couldn't. So I think when people criticize this policy, they're not thinking carefully about the needs of the country they want to do business in. They're thinking selfishly about what they want from their own company.
And if I follow up, if you allow me to follow up on that, looking at the national interest is really important and the ambitious targets that we did. So we need to create a lot of jobs. We need to diversify our economy. We need to make the private sector participation to the GDP moves to 65% from 40%. That will never happen unless you make a brave decision like this, but with making the deal winning for both sides, providing whatever it takes to make the companies move by their willingness and with attraction. And we know that they're going to contribute to our economy, and we will be both partners and friends to reach our targets by 2030.
Look, those are key messages, winning for both sides, friends, partners, good messages to send to investors and companies. So talking about the future and creating jobs, tell me about the plans for the education system in Saudi, what it looks like today and how you see it unfolding over the coming years in the context of creating jobs.
So if we have some successful stories, I think education is one of them, even before the vision started. The biggest amount of government spending goes to education today. So it has been a blessing. Myself, my brothers and sisters, we benefited from these plans. I'm one of those guys who was sent abroad to the US and studied my bachelor's and master's and PhD there in different states.
How did you like it?
I reached the level that nobody reached today, and without that help and benefit from the education in your country and the decision by my country, I would not be in front of you today. So it made me a different person. I learned a lot. I learned from American schools. Other Saudis, either boys or girls, they learned the same or even more in the US, European countries, Asia, different, even Arab, some Arab countries that have good schools. So we started early, and if you remember the King Abdullah program for studying abroad, we have hundreds of thousands of students went there. And if we look at the average of how many countries or the percentage of countries sending their students abroad, the average globally is 2.3%. Saudi Arabia reached 6%. So we are even beyond the average globally. Looking at the universities, we have doubled the size of colleges here in Saudi Arabia. We are inviting a lot of professors to teach here. We have successful stories in King Fahd University, Kaust, King Abdulaziz, King Saud. They, even in their research, they advanced in the ranking. So I know we are doing a lot, but not only this, we are following the global practice when it comes to investment in human capital, make sure our boys and girls receiving the best knowledge. And I will give you some quick statistics right now. 60% of the population of Saudi Arabia under the age of 35 years old. You have to make them well-educated and skilled to be one of the largest 15 economies by 2030. And that's not going to come from nothing. You have to invest in these people. And the country is doing everything possible and spend every real in every human capital to make sure we get benefit out of this. And by these young people, we're going to reach our targets.
So speaking of that young population and college education, my son Noah is with me. Thank you for welcoming him here. I'm going to turn over the microphone to him to ask the next question.
Hi, thank you for joining the podcast. I've enjoyed listening to it so far. How important is it to attract non-Saudis to the kingdom for the ambitious plans of the kingdom? And what should non-Saudis who are considering coming to work and live in Saudi know about today's Saudi Arabia?
See, I will give you two quick examples or stories that happened to me personally. The first one is, I was not shocked when I went to the U.S., going from a small village in the south of Saudi Arabia, as I'm shocked when I came back. I saw a lot of changes in the country, historic changes at the economic, social, structure levels. So if you look at the ambitious targets that we built in 2016, a lot of people would not believe, even international friends who love Saudi Arabia, they said, well, you'll never make it happen. And every day we prove with numbers and facts that we are reaching our targets. The country is open than ever. A lot of entertainment going on, a lot of tourism. When COVID was in 2020, we were worried because everything is locked. How are we going to support our economy? We were one of the few countries that not affected negatively by COVID in our GDP, and the only reason was the spending and the demand and the consumption by locals in tourism and entertainment. So we were lucky that we started early before COVID to make everything available to our people. So whenever whoever comes to Saudi Arabia will find same entertainment that you find in any country, same tourism, hospitality, and at the same time, culture, which is something rich and most of people look at it. But more than this is the reforms that the country adopted to make sure when you come, you're not strange. You can come and visit and stay and walk and do sports, do whatever you think is suitable for you. So that by itself will encourage you. But at the same time, at the economic and business level, as I explained in my previous questions, there are many incentives and attractions that will make everyone thirsty to come and get more from Saudi Arabia.
So I know you're trying to attract companies here with incentives. You cannot, although my son Noah has grown to love the kingdom the way I have, you cannot attract him here. We need him in New York with us.
We'll leave him with us for a couple of days and you will see maybe some changes.
So, and by the way, just to, to respond to your question before I get to the next question, I didn't know the kingdom at all before 2017. Since 2017, I've been here multiple times and it is jaw-dropping, the change, the very, very positive changes across everything that I've seen since 2017. It's really remarkable hearing from the Crown Prince what he intended to do and actually watching it unfold. So I think it's quite amazing.
True.
Last question. What is your you've covered a lot of ground, a lot of explaining about what the ministry does, why companies should consider Saudi Arabia, what you're doing to attract companies and investors. What's your most important message to potential investors about why they should not just think about investing in the kingdom, but why they would be missing out on one of the most important markets in the world today if they don't explore it.
This is a really good question, and thank you for giving me the chance to answer it. Look at Saudi Arabia as one of the biggest G20 countries that has an impact and weight when it comes to the global economy. So that limits your risks when you come to the country. You're not going to a country that's vulnerable or can be affected by any shocks. You're coming to a country that will support you, and if you have a plan to benefit some returns or earnings, you will get more and more. And that's why we have investors who are planning to stay 5-10 years and more, and they stay here forever. And actually, they start enjoying the residency here even after retirement. Second thing is the geographical position of Saudi Arabia. 80% of international cargo go through the Red Sea. So everything is by you when you need to do your transportation and shipping. We are surrounded by seas everywhere, so you can use any port, you can move to any continent, to Africa, to Asia, to Europe, within a couple hours. Transportation and logistics are being at its best level so far. We take a few hours to have direct flights to anywhere we can in the country, in the other countries. At the same time, the growth of the economy is going up and up. As the IMF forecasted, I think a couple of months ago in April, I think Saudi Arabia estimated to be the second fastest growing economy in the world after India in 2022. So you're going to the economy that will double and multiply your money, the country that will give you untapped opportunities to be the first to enjoy them. Looking at the young population that will support you and will add hands to your skills that you're going to bring. And looking at the reports that the IMF, I like to talk about the IMF because I worked there for 5 years and I learned a lot from it. And that's why we care more about education. It shows the report that there is a successful story every day. So when you come to the country, you will enjoy have an open economy, enjoy the new regulations and updated and advanced rules that will make you feel you're at home wherever you are in the globe.
Thank you for inviting Noah and me into your office to share this, and thank you for joining The Diplomat.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate your time.
Really happy that Dr. Saad Al-Shahani spent time with me and my son Noah to talk about all the dramatic changes happening in the kingdom through the efforts of the Ministry of Investment Promotion and other ministries as well. Lots of people playing a role here in trying to attract more business to the kingdom, more investment to the kingdom. Seems like an incredibly exciting time in the kingdom. I hope you found it as fascinating as I did. Let me remind you that my book is coming out July 19th. I'm so excited, and to the extent you want to learn more about the Middle East, Israel, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the Gulf countries, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the Israeli-Arab conflict, the Abraham Accords, this is the time to listen. The Middle East is playing more and more of a prominent role in the world for so many good things. It's a complicated region. I encourage you to go to Amazon and pre-order the book. It's called In the Path of Abraham, or you can visit inthepathofabraham.com and order it from there. Thanks again for listening. I'm Jason Greenblatt. This is The Diplomat, brought to you by Newsweek.